Fenner sat down and rested her head between both paws.
We should have known better than letting him go for supplies. 'Tis our own fault, I suppose. The fool never even thought of bringing a flint along to make fire.
Springall produced a chunk of crystal from her belt pouch.
That's no trouble. I got this off old Fred. He told me how to use it. Watch this.
She held the crystal close to some dry twigs and moss, focusing until it caught the sun rays and concentrated them in a small bright point. Instantly, the moss began smouldering. After a short while, a single puff of the mouse maid's breath caused a slim column of flame to rise. Fenner was both delighted and astonished.
That's marvellous! At least we can boil some water and pick mint leaves to make tea. There's plenty of wild mint growing round here. What's the matter, Springald?
The mouse maid kicked the sack she had upended.
Guess what? Horty forgot to bring anything along to boil it in.
Fenner sat down beside her friend.
Right, that's the last time I'll listen to the mad plans and stupid ideas of a hare. We'd best go back to Redwall.
Springall did not relish the suggestion.
Redwall? Imagine having to face the Father Abbot and Sister Setiver and Grandman Gervel and all the rest. I'd sooner sit out here for a season or two and starve until they've forgotten about us drowning those dibbons, plundering the kitchens and disobeying the Abbot. Lack-a-day, we'd be scrubbing floors and washing pots until we were old and grey.
Springall's despairing thoughts were interrupted by Horty's voice.
Oh, out! Oh, out! I say, look at me blinking ears, you bounders!
Horty appeared, dripping wet, with six big mottled rats dragging him along. Their garb was a curious mixture of leaves, shrubbery and purple tattoos. All of them were armed with cudgels and long knives. Springald let out a cry of alarm. Fenner seized an old kitchen knife and leapt up. Soon they were surrounded as more rats stepped out from the trees. Their leader, a tall brownish-white mottled vermin, carrying a long spear, growled warningly.
Throw down the knife for your dead beasts.
Something about his bleak stare told Fenner that it would be wise to obey the order. She let the knife fall. Horty indignantly took up his case with the tall rat.
I say, do you mind telling these chaps to stop swinging on me blinking ears? They'll pull them out by their flipping roots. Tugging at them like that, what?
A sudden jab of the tall rat's spear butt jolted into the young hare's stomach, leaving him doubled up and gasping for breath. The rat turned the point swiftly, covering Fenner and Springald as they leapt forward to intervene.
Be still or die. I am Birog, High Captain of the Darat. You'll be prisoners for invading our lands.
Springald protested.
We're not invading any beast's land, only passing through. We are innocent travellers.
Birog sneered.
Shut your mouth, Shimos. You're not taught to High Captain like that. Bring them along.
Fenner was shocked to see that they were surrounded by at least 100 rats. Horty regained his breath. But before he could speak, he and his two friends were gagged with thick pieces of rope. Darat's rats swarmed over the trio, binding their forepaws tightly and linking their footpaws together on a long rope. They were helpless. The squirrel maid barely had time to cast a frightened glance at their companions before sacks were pulled roughly over their heads. Cudgels prodded them, none too gently. Birug's voice rang out.
March now!
Stumbling and bumping into one another, they were hauled swiftly along, dragged upright and cuffed soundly whenever they fell by the wayside. The unhappy trio bumbled along in the midst of their captors, terrified, witless, and rueing the day they had set paw outside of Redwall Abbey. Sarabando and Bragoon lay in the tree shade, out of the shimmering midday heat. They sipped dandelion and burdock cordial, and nibbled at oat cakes, supplemented by some watercress they had found near a stream. Saro tootled a small reed flute and played a melody. Bragoon sang the tune quietly.
I know not younguns or a wife, no scolding tongue I fear. I live a carefree traveller's life, from yon to hither and here. O mountain, hill and lea, I'm bound to wend my way, cross river, lake or sea, with never a beast to say. Sit down, stand up, stay here, O ring-a-leary-lay, Stand back, be still, just wait. Farewell, my dear, good day.
Sorrow began piping the tune to a second verse, when Burgoon ceased singing and held up a paw.
Shh! Did you hear something, mate?
Ears cocked, the squiddle looked around. Silently, she nodded, pointing over to the dense growth of trees on her left. Putting aside the flute, Sorrow pointed to her friend, indicating that he should stay put. In a flash, she was gone, nimbly scaling a beech trunk and vaulting away through the foliaged upper terraces of Mossflower. Burgoon sat perfectly still, his eyes roving from side to side as he searched the woodlands. Several minutes elapsed before Sorrow somersaulted back to earth from the high treetops. She picked up a twig, then snapped it and flung it away, muttering darkly to herself. Burgoon raised his eyebrows.
"What's upset you, matey?"
The squiddle began gathering up her possessions.
"Upset? I ain't upset, bucko. I'm steaming fit to burst. Those three young fools from Redwall, Horty and the two maids, they've got themselves captured by 100 or so big, spotty rats."
Burgoon sighed heavily. Buckling the sword across his back, he dusted himself off and made ready.
"You sure 'twas them?"
Sorrow checked her sling and pouch of stones.
"I am sure enough. They was bound together and had sacks over their heads, but it's got to be them. What other young hare, squirrel and mouse would be wandering willy-nilly through these woodlands, eh? They've sneaked out a red wall and come searching for us to share the adventure.
Burgoon shook his rudder in disapproval.
50 of big spotty rats, you say? Well, they'll get their share of the fun. That's if the three idiots live long enough. You recall those spotty rats we battled with last time we was up this way?"
The squirrel nodded grimly.
"Aye, they were flesh-eaters.